particularly the first bit. I just want to help the children look at what we're reading. And ask, any of you like going for a walk? Who likes going for a walk? Yeah? Lots of people like going for a walk. Why do you like going for a walk? Fresh air? You don't like going for a walk. I was going to come to that. Why don't you like going for a walk? Boring. Yeah, you'd rather do other things. You hate walking. Lots of reasons we like going for a walk. We like to, some of us have to take the dog out for a walk on a regular basis. We get to walk to go to the shops. We get to school. Have to walk to school sometimes, don't we? Some of us walk to school or to, yeah. Some of us walk to work even. We go out to enjoy the countryside. But sometimes we don't like going for a walk, do we? It's too much like hard work. Boring. We'd rather do other things. And of course, some of us can't walk as far or as easily as we once did. I know there are one or two folk like that here who perhaps would like to be out walking, but it's much more difficult than it was. Well, today's passage is about two people going for a walk. Now, in Jesus' time, they didn't have much choice. Not many people owned horses or donkeys, so most people walked everywhere. As far as we know, Jesus walked everywhere he went, except when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey just before his death. But most people walked everywhere. So we have two people going for a walk, and it's quite a long walk. It's about 7 miles. That's a bit further than from here into the middle of Derby. It's quite a long walk. And these two people were very sad. They were very sad, not because they didn't like walking. They had to walk. But they were sad because of what had been happening over the last few days. And they couldn't stop talking about it. So as they walk, they meet a man. Not unusual, is it? Sometimes you meet people when you're out for a walk, and he asks them what they're talking about. They say, well, are you the only person around here who doesn't know what's been going on? Are you the only person who doesn't know what's been going on these last few days? Well, it's a bit of a funny thing to ask, because we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that this person walking alongside them is Jesus. We know that he's actually the one person who really knows what's been going on, because he's been in the middle of it. And they say, do you know what's been going on? Haven't you heard? What was happening? But they don't recognize him. Somehow he's a bit different. So Cleopas, one of these two people out for a walk, tells him. And we've been out for listening to the Easter story over the last few weeks. We've heard how Jesus came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, how he was arrested at night, how he was given a mock trial, how he was sentenced to death, and how he was crucified, dying a very painful death. Then we've heard how he was very quickly buried, because he died on Friday afternoon. And from Friday sunset was the Sabbath, so the Jews couldn't do any work. They couldn't even bury somebody. So he was buried very quickly. And then the day after the Sabbath, when they could do some work, people went to the tomb to look after the body. And of course they found that he wasn't there. The body was gone. And there was no Jesus. And Cleopas says, we'd hoped that Jesus was going to be our great saviour. We'd hoped that he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. He would hoped that he was going to be the one who would be our new king. But he's dead. The body's gone. We have no hope. And then Jesus does two things. Firstly, He explains the Bible to them. Now, we look at the Bible in church every Sunday, don't we? We read the Bible in Sunday Club, in Fuel, Ignition, in Impact, in our adult house groups. We discuss it. We try to understand what it's saying to us. Wouldn't it have been fantastic to be there on the road with those two disciples and have Jesus explain it to us? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to hear Jesus give the best Bible study ever? It says in verses 26 on onwards, he says, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have had Jesus explain how the Bible tells everybody about him? How it tells us that he had to suffer, to die, and to rise again. What a wonderful Bible study. But these folks still didn't recognize Jesus. A great Bible teacher, but they didn't recognize him. And the second thing that Jesus does is that he goes into the house with them to have supper. They said, "Stay with us, for it's now towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He takes the bread at supper, he blesses it, and he gives it to them, just like he did at the Last Supper, just like he did at the feeding of the 5,000, just like he must have done at meals dozens of times over the years. And then they recognize him. Then they know this is Jesus, because this is what Jesus does. And they have no doubt that it's Jesus, alive, risen from the dead, back to be their king. And they're so excited that, having walked all the way out to Emmaus, this little village they'd gone to, that they hurry all the way back again. Another 7 miles. And it's dark. They said it was towards evening. So they have another long walk, but they're so excited that they want to go and tell their friends about Jesus. So there are two things to remember. We're going to look at in a little bit more detail in a moment. But two things to remember particularly, that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he's with us now. And that the Bible tells us all about Jesus. But it's not always easy to understand. Well, before we look at those points in a little bit more detail, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing that Jesus is greater than the greatest heroes, because he's the life and he's living today. So that's some of those things we've just covered. Because there are two things that are clear in this passage. That firstly, that Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive today. The disciples were quite clear about that. Absolutely clear that Jesus was alive. And secondly, the passage also shows us that sometimes it can be hard to understand that, and it can be difficult to recognize Jesus. We don't always see him first time. And maybe there are people here this morning who don't believe that Jesus rose. People who haven't yet met him. People perhaps who aren't persuaded by the arguments from the Bible or from the people who brought them here or from their friends. If that's you, do please listen. Hear what Luke has to tell us. Because Luke is trying to make the point that Jesus is alive. Now, like all the gospel writers, Luke writes very carefully. When they wrote the Gospels, they had to write them onto parchment, which was rare. It was hard to come by. It was expensive. They couldn't churn it out on a word processor. They couldn't print something off, have a look at it, change it, revise it on the computer. They had to get it right first time. And they couldn't waste the parchment. They had to be sure that what they wrote absolutely made the point they wanted to make. So they were very careful with what they wrote down. And Luke tells us this story because it's important. He tells us that Cleopas and his friend are completely despondent. Verse 17, as Jesus meets them, he said to them, "What's this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. They were despondent. They tell Jesus of their hopes and their dreams. Verse 18, one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They had hoped. They tell of who Jesus seemed to be, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They told him of who they hoped he would be, the Redeemer of Israel. But now, all he seems to be is dead. They carry on. "Besides this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they didn't see." These guys, they didn't believe that Jesus was alive. The women had come back saying the tomb was empty, some harebrained, fanciful story of angels. What ridiculous stuff. And when Peter and the others went to the tomb, yeah, it was empty. Somebody had obviously taken the body. Jesus wasn't there. He couldn't possibly be alive. They had no expectation that he was alive now. And they certainly didn't recognize Jesus on the road. Yet an hour or two later, all that had changed. So in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They vanished from their sight and they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they hurried back to Jerusalem because they knew now that he was alive. They knew they had met him. They knew it was really Jesus. They went from despair to excitement, from grief to amazing joy, from hopelessness to wonderful new hope, just like that. And Luke tells us this to persuade us that Jesus rose and is alive. To persuade us that only meeting the real living Jesus could have changed them and re-energized them like this. Could have made this incredible transformation from folk trudging along the road to Emmaus, sad and despondent, to people who rush back to Jerusalem in the dark, in the late evening, full of hope and excitement. And of course, he then goes on to say that when they get back to Jerusalem, they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Corroboration of all they had learned on the road. Because Peter has seen Jesus, and then suddenly they all see him. They all know that Jesus is alive. And Luke writes this to tell us that Jesus is alive. Lots of people met him and saw him. They know he's alive, and so should we. Now you may say that it's easy for them to believe that Jesus rose because they actually saw him. They spoke to him. They touched him. They ate with him. And the question for us must be, how do we meet and recognize Jesus today? If you haven't met him yet, how do you do so? If you have met him and you know him as your Savior, how do you keep that relationship going? Well, again, Luke helps us, doesn't he, in this passage. In verse 26, 25, 27, he tells us how he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Right through the Old Testament, Jesus is spoken of. It's often misinterpreted, as it was in Jesus' day, but the whole of the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. But in Jesus' day, people didn't expect a suffering Messiah. They expected the great king to come, the son of David, the redeemer of Israel that Cleopas and his friend were looking for. They were expecting a conquering king, one who would defeat the Romans. And they thought that the prophecies of that king were quite different from the prophecies of the suffering servant that we read of in Isaiah and elsewhere. And of course, what Jesus did when he expounded the scriptures to Cleopas and his friends was to show them that that interpretation, that separation of the king and the suffering servant, was quite wrong. Because in order to become the Redeemer of Israel, he had to pay the price. Verse 26, he says, "Was it not necessary that the Christ, God's anointed one, should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" The king has to suffer, Jesus says, before he can enter into his glory. The Redeemer of Israel is the suffering servant. He has to die on the cross in our place. He has to suffer for us as he takes our punishment for our sins before he can rise from death to show that he is the conquering one, the one who has conquered sin and the devil, the one who is the great king, the redeemer who has suffered, died, and risen for us. That is what the Bible tells us is necessary. We sing the song, "God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice, fulfilled in Christ." It's God's plan that Jesus had to die to take the punishment for our sin before he can rise to become the great king. And so we meet Jesus today in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament as well, to see the one who suffered for us, who died for us, and who rose to become our king. the one who is alive today, who speaks to us now as he did to the disciples on the road. And when we listen and believe and trust in him as our King and our Saviour, we become part of that amazing salvation plan. God's plan from the beginning of the world to save us from our sins. So we meet him through the Bible. And secondly, as Christians, we meet him when we share in communion, as the disciples did when they broke the bread with him. He went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. When we share the bread and the wine around the Lord's table, we're reminded that Jesus gave his life for us because he loved us. He suffered and died for us because he loved us. His body was broken and his blood shed for you and for me because he loved us. As we eat and drink together, we remind ourselves of his grace and his mercy, of his death and his resurrection. We remind ourselves of the suffering servant becoming the great and glorious King. We are reminded of our sins forgiven and our new life in the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus meets us at his table to share his love with us. So if you haven't met Jesus yet, can I encourage you to read his word, to come to church regularly to hear it explained, to come to the courses we run term by term, and to ask him to meet you through his word. And if you do know Jesus as your Saviour, can I encourage you to keep meeting him through his word, through sharing at his table, through coming to share with him his love, because he longs to meet each one of us and to share his life with us.